clock.
It looks like the clock is about to strike midnight on this Cinderella story.
It's refreshing, yet displeasing to the eye.
Somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
In the dying seconds! Unbelievable! They wouldn't say die!
Here it is. They came to play. If you missed everything on the weekend, and you may well have because the World Cup kicked off over the weekend, it doesn't matter. We are here for you. Tune into this podcast and you'll be right up to speed with all the business from the AFL in round 13. We are officially two-thirds of the way through the deeply annoying bye rounds in the AFL. As I say hello, Tess Armstrong and Danny McGinley.
Hello. Hello, Lima. Hello, Danny.
Hello. It really is annoying. Just having less football to watch. It's cruel.
I would prefer we have one weekend when no one plays.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just a week away. Great. We can all go on holidays, switch off, do something else. But to be interrupted for 3 weeks, not only do you get less football, it's really tedious if you play Supercoach or Fantasy.
Of course.
Because you've got to adjust your team. Oh.
I never thought. And you, with your Supercoach, you can change team. You do move your team around every week, but you have to keep – there's players who aren't playing, obviously, and will get zero, and you've got to think of that. Who was your captain? Do you do this, Lima?
You know what? For the bye rounds, I just don't even look at it.
Oh,
I accept that I'll probably lose 3 games. I don't have the time to do the juggling.
Who's got time for that?
Who's got time? Look at the smile on your face, Tess Armstrong, by the way.
I'm so happy. I am so happy today. It's great.
Why?
It's a great day.
What happened? Are you a big Mexico fan?
Yeah.
Knocking off Germany.
Love when the underdogs get up.
I didn't realise Armstrong was a Mexican name.
There it is. Yeah, my Icelandic parents are the reason I'm so happy today.
The bye round would give us a chance if all the teams had a week off to watch the Socceroos in peace and not feel guilty. I felt guilty. I had to have 3 screens up. It was very exhausting.
Yeah.
So I felt like if there was no footy, I wouldn't have felt bad.
I think the government needs to make sure that on the bye round there is some sort of mass non-footy entertainment, like a new Star Wars film or a new James Bond.
Yes.
Like legally that has to happen on the bye round.
And it would have worked perfectly last weekend because, of course, we had the Socceroos playing, we had the Wallabies playing, the Australian cricket team was playing. The US Open golf was on.
All three of them lost,
by the way. Yeah.
It was a great round.
I think Aaron Baddeley was our best placed Aussie at the US Open. 11 strokes off the pace. So
all right.
We didn't exactly dominate over the weekend. Kyrgios got beaten by Federer. So I'm sure there are more sports we struggled at over the weekend. But anyway, my point is it was a perfect opportunity for a complete bye round.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And it would have worked out well for you, Danny, if there had been no footy on the weekend.
There was no footy. What are you talking about?
No, right.
Yeah, guys, can I drop a bombshell?
What's that?
I'm starting to think Bulldogs might not make finals.
Oh, what?
I'm just starting, like, there's a niggle in my brain. There's a niggle.
That's the sort of negativity, Tess.
I know.
That saw them have a 60-year drought.
Yeah, it brings you down.
You're right. It's my fault.
You can't let it get you down, Danny. There's still hope.
That's true.
What's your next couple of games?
We play North Melbourne.
Then,
pretty much, unless we're playing Carlton, Gold Coast or St Kilda, we are stuffed.
Oh, no. Can I just tell you? You're playing North and then you play Geelong.
Oh.
And then you play Hawthorn.
Oh, Hawthorn's
And then
a
you
chance.
Play Melbourne at the MCG.
Oh.
And then you play Eagles.
Hey, guess what? I'm going
yes.
to Eagles. I've organised some gigs in Perth that weekend, and I'm going to go check out the new Perth Stadium. I reckon I might be the only Bulldog there.
That'll be fun.
You're a glutton for punishment.
They're a very nice bunch over there, I think, to the people from the outside, so that should be good.
Hey, if it's any consolation, I hear it's a super draft this year, so
there we go. Well, this is good.
You'll pick up some great talent in November.
Great.
And so this leads us to my major point for today's podcast, team, and that's that it's been a stinking weekend for a number of sporting figures.
No.
Well, not for you, Tess. And not for me either, by the way. The Hawks did fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. Is this a podcast or an intervention?
It's both. So we've got 8 here. I'm going to list for all the way from Carlton down to Phil Mickelson. Yes, we're drifting into golf and rugby
counts.
As well, actually.
Oh, gosh.
And soccer. So what we want to do is we're going to ask 2 questions. One, what's wrong with them?
Okay.
And can we come up with something positive?
Mm. Okay.
So let's start with Carlton. Okay. Well, the fact that on the weekend, here you go, here's a stat for you. First half goals on the weekend. Spain 2, Portugal 1, Carlton 0.
Yeah.
Carlton, it's the constant promises of what's going to happen and the not delivering on those promises that must be infuriating for fans.
It's years of mismanagement, and now to say it now's the rebuild. It's finally started. It sounds like the Blues who cried wolf, but it's not, right? They probably are actually entering the only rebuild they've probably done for quite some time. Hard pill to swallow, though, when you still get smashed.
You say the Blues who cried wolf. I think the first rebuild was out of straw. The second one was out of sticks.
And they've gone back to straw.
Yeah. Actually, that was quite nice. The look of straw was good. Let's go back there. That was pretty depressing. Like, it was highly entertaining as a non, you know, as I didn't care who won or lost that game, really. And Mark McClure was doing special comments for ABC Grandstand, and he was having a bad time, an official bad time. And so were the Blues. But
I think he said in the commentary that's as bad as he's seen, as bad a half of football as he's seen.
Yes, he was stern. But it's disappointing because there was a lack of effort. You know how you can take away positives, right?
Yeah.
When your team's going badly. We've all been there. I don't know about you, Lima, but we've mostly been there.
No, you have not.
No, we had a bad year. 2004, we were terrible.
Oh, God. See?
Last year you didn't make the finals. last year was a low point, but you can take away positives.
Do you remember this, Tess, when Hawthorn were like going through their three-peat and Limo was unbearable and there was a lot of, oh, mate, no, I know what you've had, mate. When we were sitting out there at Waverley in 2001 and we'd lose a couple of games, it was just hell. It's just great to see us Hawthorn fans finally reaping the benefit.
As our clubs burnt in the distance. Yeah.
We fought back.
What an inspiration. You're the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. We really are.
The positives for Carlton, I suppose, is when they did kick a few goals after in the second half. That is a positive. The fact that they got completely humiliated and yet they at least came slightly good in the second half.
Okay, yeah.
They won the second half. That's a positive.
Okay, positives for Carlton, Danny?
Well, Carlton are very hated. They are one of a lot of people's bottom four sides just because they had years of domination and poaching players. I mean, I bet Carlton would love to be able to just buy Cristiano Ronaldo and bring him in because that's with all the champions they like to send us because we pay for them. They can't be as hated anymore. Like, Lima, you definitely don't like Carlton. Do you hate them as viscerally as you used to? Surely there's a little bit. See, there we go. That's a positive.
I still don't like them, though.
But if they won the flag, you know, in, say, 2023,
right.
would it? I'm just being realistic.
I've been consulting the almanac.
Realistic. You said 2023 as a reminder, not 2053.
Yeah, okay. After after the Bulldogs win five in a row, what would that pain you as much as if they'd won it in say 2010? Like that was
no, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. The further we get from their last premiership, the less it'll pain.
There we go. There's a positive for Carlton.
So they're all right. Okay. Well, there's a positive. So Tess, you had an in-game positive.
Yeah.
Danny, you've got a long-term positive.
I'm a big picture guy.
And my positive is just generally about the club and this playing group. This is the three C's. Cripps, Curnow.
Mm. Yeah.
I think they're three big positives that they can just take forward. They know they've got a bunch of superstars in that team.
Yeah.
They really genuinely have the makings of a champion team.
Yes, they do. And I love Jack Silvani. I want only good things for him. I don't know how anyone could watch him play and not want him to play well and just think he's lovely.
Yep.
Jacob Wiedering, he's delightful. They've got a lot of young, good players. They've just got to start playing well.
I got an idea for Carlton. I just came up with it then.
Oh, yeah.
You know how their marketing is hashtag bound by blue, which does make it sound like a hostage situation. Is Cripps captain yet? He should be captain soon.
Mark Murphy is the current captain, but there is also Sam Doherty who's spending this year on the sidelines, but he's captain material.
Yeah.
If you meet a man and you think captain material, it's Sam Doherty. So do you go mid-range captain material or Paddy Cripps future captain material? Mm. A debate for them.
Well, for the marketing, just say we put in Cripps and then everyone at Carlton, what is the colour of the gang, the Cripps? Like, oh, and, then, you know, and then everyone at Carlton, is it blue? If it's blue, then this really works.
Oh, then
works.
It really works, yeah. Well, let's say it's blue.
Let's say it's blue. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So everyone wears like a blue rag or, you know, whatever the Crips do. I'm clearly down with my South Central LA.
And they do those signs with their fingers.
Some gang signs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and they've got a rivalry against the Swans, the Bloods. This is perfect.
Okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah, okay, Sam Duppity, right. Sorry. You had a good run.
There we go. And then we start some sort of rap battle in the streets between the two. Yeah, okay.
This is perfect. Right.
Gold.
There you go, Carlton. I've helped you out.
Carlton, it's a Danny McGinley / rap / LA gang led recovery. Okay. All right, that's Carlton. Problem solved. Gold Coast Suns, what's the issue there?
Well, for mine, the fact that their last four fourth quarters, they've scored 0-0, 0-1, 0-1, and 0-0. So that's two behinds. In basically a game of football.
And in binary, it actually spells, we're rubbish, help.
Right. Okay. Is this a subtle coded message?
Oh,
is that SOS in Morse code, perhaps?
They want to get out. Oh, no.
It's Lynch saying, sign me, sign me.
Their phones have been taken off them. Yeah. This is a secret message. Oh, dear.
Oh, well, they have several problems. If you're a Gold Coast fan, right, you've gone to Carrara a couple of weeks ago. For the first time back, you get smashed by Geelong. Mm. Then you come back, you have three quarters of joy. They played really well. They were fun. They're exciting. They're youth. Jack Martin, he's a superstar. You go, great, this is going to be wonderful. And then you lose still. I mean, how is worse to lose, which is a question I've asked myself several times, whether when Richmond were up at three-quarter time by like 100 points and we still lost. Would you rather get smashed the whole game? We'll get smashed just in the last quarter.
Oh, smash the whole game.
Smash
definitely.
The whole game.
So you can set up your defence mechanisms within yourself to deal with it all.
This is how we teach the Gold Coast fans how to be real footy fans, because they're losing in new and fun ways and they're still getting asked to come back.
That's a good positive.
That is a positive. We're teaching them. We taught the GWS fans how to boo because Richmond booed them a lot. Then this year they've learnt how to boo. And Gold Coast, we're teaching them how to lose. Enjoy it.
They really should know that by now, by the way.
It's our gift to you.
They've been doing it for a long time. Danny, positives for the Gold Coast?
I think what the Gold Coast Suns are doing for the local area is just spectacular. They are making, like, okay, how often do you guys go interstate to watch your teams play? Maybe once
not
a
often.
Year?
Once a year.
Once a year. That's such an exciting weekend. Yeah. Usually you go with your close mates, you go along. Where would you like to go? Would you like to go to Adelaide Oval? I mean, it's a good experience, but then what are you going to do? See some wineries and stuff? Maybe go to Brisbane?
I'm going down to Tassie to watch Hawthorn in Launceston.
But it's freezing. No? Would you rather go to the Gold Coast? And then go to Dreamworld and they or Wet n Wild or anywhere like that. It is, and you are guaranteed to win that game. So you are making Gold Coast the number one ideal destination for footy fans who want to go. It is just pouring money into the local economy. Really, Gold Coast Suns are the best thing to ever happen to the Southeast Queensland.
Right. See, there we go.
I'm on board. I feel strangely on board. Good job.
There's a positive. My positive for the Gold Coast Suns is that it'd be too embarrassing and awkward for the AFL to let them fail. So they'll just pour millions and millions in until it works. So there it is.
Yeah.
Simple as
happy
that.
Happy days. Positivity.
Yeah.
Great.
Don't panic, guys. You'll be fine. This will work if it's the last thing the AFL ever does.
I'd love to see Gillon McLachlan given, you know, like a would you rather. All right, Gold Coast or GWS have to win the flag, but then the other folds. What do you choose? I think you choose GWS,
You know what? Name me a sporting team that's had success on the Gold Coast. It just doesn't do sport.
Yeah.
They're great at schoolies, right?
Yeah, but they get a lot of priority picks.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Schoolies.
Yep. I'm sure they'll be good with the Logies. That feels like a Gold Coast kind of thing.
Yeah,
I reckon they'd be a great lawn bowls club.
It's probably a great lawn bowls
great
club.
Great lawn bowls club.
Well, how's Southport Sharks doing? Are they do well in the QFL?
Yeah, but they... what about an NRL team? Has an NRL team
Titans.
Ever had success there?
Titans. And there was the Gold Coast Chargers, I believe.
Has a basketball team ever
there
had success
there?
There
was the Rollers and the Blaze. Neither have really
done
that
well. Has a
soccer
team ever had success
Gold
there?
Coast United were owned by Clive Palmer and did not do well at all.
I'm surprised by that.
And now the Gold Coast. So I'm starting to think the Gold Coast can't do sport. I mean, the Comm Games.
Seriously. Well, they happened.
Yeah, that happened. So...
We went from negatives to positive and back to negatives.
And back to negatives.
So we should move on to the next
one. Let's move on to the next one.
Yep.
The Adelaide Crows. I think they've got some issues run deep at the Adelaide Crows, and they've lost now four in a row, Tess.
It was very disappointing. I mean, it probably wasn't for you, but I
loved it.
And I've seen a few Richmond people throw this idea up. Do you think we broke them?
Yeah, totally.
I think we broke them.
Right.
They were favourites.
They were favourites. No one gave us a chance. I told everyone, guys, we're on. We've got this covered. No one believed me. We beat them. They did the power stance. They were embarrassed. And now they're broken. And I think we did that.
Well, let's look at all the losing grand finalists of the last few years. Swans, after the Bulldogs beat them, lost the next six games of the season. Then they did come good, but that was it. How'd the Eagles go 2016? They came seventh, but they came sixth, actually, but they powered home. Like, they were supposed to miss finals, but they hit form.
Struggled
just
early.
Towards the end. Sydney in 2015. Can't really remember how they did, but that was also, there was the Adam Goods booing saga.
Yes, that
didn't help
that
as well.
Yeah.
And Freo got broken.
They did break after the grand final. They never really came back.
So you did break them, but everyone who loses a grand final is broken.
That's me out.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't know us three because our teams have won the last three grand finals.
That's true.
And the only person who's lived through a losing grand final in living memory is Limo, 2012. And our heart bleeds for you, man.
It was hard.
Didn't break you, so that's good. That's positive for us.
Yeah, there we go.
It might not happen to us when we lose the grand finals that we get into.
Yeah, the Bulldogs are doing really well.
Yeah, you got broken by winning one. Would you just completely mucked up the system?
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Positives for the Crows?
They are really... What the Crows are doing for the Australian medical industry should be commended. They are creating so many new jobs and giving a lot of our young doctors and sports scientists valuable experience. Yeah. So putting us on the forefront of science and technology. Let's just give Adelaide Crows Australians of the Year.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I love it. My positive for Adelaide every week is Eddie Betts. Still kicked a cracking goal on Saturday night to excite the masses. Masses? In inverted commas?
Well, it really wasn't the masses.
It really wasn't the masses.
It was a poor crowd.
Yeah. If you've got Eddie Betts, and you better make sure he's feeling happy at that club, because if you've got Eddie Betts, you better keep him, because he's the most positive thing about the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah, indeed. That would be my positive as well, to be completely honest with you.
Just that Eddie Betts exists.
That Eddie Betts exists for that football
club. It's pretty good.
It's positive for all of us.
It's good positive. Yeah. Let's go to the Western Bulldogs.
Anyway, I might go, guys. Getting a phone call.
As I have said before, this isn't a premiership hangover. You've had a hangover since 1954. Just a moment of clarity slipped in at the end of 2016.
A
flag.
Yeah. All right. So it's all on me to come up with the positives.
Okay. What are the positives at the Bulldogs? Because Tess and I, we had a meeting for 3 hours earlier and we couldn't come up with anything. So
heaps of things off the list.
What have you got?
Okay, one of the things I love about being a Bulldogs fan is that, okay, let's just compare it to you two idiots who go for successful clubs, all right?
Okay.
When you go to the footy,
you
are crammed in that tiny little seat. You'd love to get a beer, but the queue's like half an hour.
Okay.
Thing I love about Bulldogs games, there's so much room.
All right.
It is like gold class cinemas.
Yeah.
It's so good. And do you guys, Lima, you yell at the footy, don't you? You're always screaming at the player.
There's no point
yelling at a Hawthorn game. That is a wall of noise. Whereas I'm at the Dogs game, Dalhouse, over there. He turns around. Thanks, Danny. The players know us by name. It's brilliant. And us being rubbish keeps that intimate VIP experience.
Okay, good. Okay. So that's a positive for fans.
Yeah.
Have you got a positive on the ground?
Tom Boyd's very handsome.
I've got one for you.
Please.
Gowers.
Billy Gowers.
He has been a standout all year. He's going to be a star. And Ed Richards. Richards is also a star.
Ed Richards is amazing. And the Bont is still awesome. Toby McLean will win a Brownlow at some stage in his career. He is that awesome. We've got a few very good
five
players.
Five of them. And the five of them are great.
But there's so many players with the potential to be premiership winning. Like, you know, we just need JJ to fire up a little bit. You know, if Pickin comes back, he will lift us another level. Within, there is a beast that is going to destroy the AFL. It's just really sleeping right now.
It's really tired. It took it out of you. The run to the grand final.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
All tuck it out.
It's having a little snooze. I might, at this point, we've got Mad Matt Clinch on standby. I might call him into the studio
Ooh.
Right now because we're about to switch to soccer from AFL.
Oh.
Brilliant.
Now, Clinchy, hello.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Excellent. What was your favourite game?
Definitely Geelong and Richmond.
Geelong.
I've been waiting a long time for a game that matters.
Yeah.
I feel like I do a lot that's just caught in the middle somewhere.
I'm hearing
it. It was everyone's favourite game.
Now, something has come to my attention over the weekend.
Yes.
Clinchy. I love the grandstand call. I think you guys are the best in the business. You nail it time and time again. But I'm wondering if we could just bring a little more excitement to goals in the AFL. Let's have a listen, first of all, to your good self, calling a goal over the weekend.
Collingwood win the footy. Maynard takes the free kick, kicks into the pocket, and Will Hoskin-Elliott all on his own takes the mark. Three goals so far. He comes in on a tight angle. Make that four. As Hoskin-Elliott keeps the celebrations rolling for Magpies fans. They now lead by 48 points.
There it is.
That was exciting.
Beautifully done. Captured the moment. Yeah, very well.
Points.
No,
the game was done by then.
There we go. Let's have a listen to Joel Pederson calling a goal over the weekend.
Eventually with Shields in the forward pocket, centres it up. Roughhead marks. So Roughhead from 35 metres out, left foot kick. He joins the party. The Hawks have got 8 unanswered and they lead by a big, big margin. It's a game high 54 points.
Okay, Clinchy, by way of comparison,
We like just a party at the ABC, yeah.
Can we?
We're both promoting parties.
Yeah. Can we just have a listen to a Portuguese commentator calling Ronaldo's third goal on the weekend?
Rocky vai apitar, é um livre perigoso, pega nos pontos, Cristiano, ele vai!
Did he get so excited lasers shot out of his eyes? That's what it sounds like.
Now, I wonder, Clinchy, if we could bring a bit of that sort of buzz to the grandstand coverage.
I'm more than happy to take feedback on board. What did he say? Just for
I've got no idea.
Obrigado is thank you in Portuguese. So he's going, thank you, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh, check out Tess.
Oh, there we go.
Not just a Richmond fan.
Holy crap.
If you're looking for further inspiration, this is my all-time favourite. This is an Iceland commentator calling them scoring a second goal against Austria Euro 2016.
That was honestly me when Daniel Rioli kicked a goal yesterday. I was in the box, and Matt can attest, I was like that.
That commentator got in trouble for that.
Did he?
That was during the Euro last year, and he got dropped for the next game for being too unprofessional. This is by the Icelandic sports broadcasters.
That's rubbish. This is what I want from you.
I promise to back you in. If they try and drop you for the next, I promise I'll back you in.
Al Nicholson's got a higher voice than me, so maybe he could hit that one. But my concern is that if you do that, then you're cooked. Like, you're not going to be able to call for the rest of the game. It's going to have to be the winner, because otherwise you'll have no voice after that.
Because you can't call too many goals like that, can you? Well, if you're a Carlton fan, though, and you're
saving for the ones that matter, there's not many that come around.
If Gold Coast score a goal in the last quarter, I want you to go the full Portuguese.
Can I give a shout-out in this exact moment to exactly that? Gold Coast didn't get a goal, but our Quentin Hull, our very own Quentin Hull, is in Queensland, and he was calling a point on the weekend.
Into the pocket, it rolls near the point post. Miller keeps it in. Martin kicks it off the ground into the post and through. Oh, that'll count tonight in Kazan, but it's only one here. Oh, dear. If that's Tommy Rogic tonight, it'll be jubilation for the country. But just a behind here at Corral.
That's great. I love it.
Fun fact, the Q Clash is actually named after Quentin Hull.
Oh, there he is. Beautifully done.
We'll enjoy that.
So what is the big issue from the weekend, Clinchy, as far as as you see it?
Well, it's probably hard to go past Carlton. I think a lot of the talking point today will be around the Blues, where they sit, what they can do to get back. And Mark Murphy spent the weekend in Byron Bay. He came back, the previous week in Byron Bay, came back and saw the Blues.
He might as well have stayed another week. That
seems harsh.
I think the suggestion is for the contract negotiations, he would have preferred to have not seen that performance. If they're trying to encourage him to stay around, the club's not that far away from turning their performances around. But on the weekend, they looked a long way away from that. So,
could you see him playing somewhere else next year?
Absolutely. I think it's actually, I was trying to argue with Mark McClure that it's actually in Carlton's best interest to try and convince him to go elsewhere and try and get some either draft picks or players as a result of that, because they're not going to have success while he's there in the next couple of years.
No, they're not.
So the challenge is he can leave the club as a free agent.
It just makes me, what makes me laugh is the quality of players that have left that club.
Yeah.
All the way from Josh Kennedy, I think, is... Mm. All the way through to Mark Murphy, if he leaves.
Eddie Betts, Sam Jacobs.
Mitch Robinson.
Sean Greig. Premiership player. Yeah.
But you can put together a pretty handy 18.
We could.
Players that pop rid off. In fact, it would probably beat that current 18.
In the buy round that we give everyone, we should make Carlton play and then play their old team. Play the 18 olds and then 18 news.
I think that's a magnificent
idea. That'd be a sellout.
So as luck would have it, Carlton take on Collingwood this week. So if ever there's a side you find something to come up against, it's probably the black and white. So that'll be an interesting clash. Dustin Martin had contact with an umpire yesterday. We don't expect it will result in too much more than maybe a fine. They will have a bit of a look at it. It was more sort of trying to explain what he was trying to do.
Can't they just mime it? Without having to lean on the umpire to show them.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that's what Stephen May did the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah. He was role-playing, saying, no, I did this to him, I didn't, and then he still got fined.
Like, you can definitely just use your words. Use your words.
Or if there's four umpires, should one of them be designated the example umpire? So
show us on the umpire where you touched him.
It does go into dangerous territory, doesn't it?
That's what Nathan Burke says they used to do at the MRP. They used to act out some of the things that had happened on the weekend to one another. And so I feel like maybe you should get Berkey out there.
Tom Hawke as much as scratch his head and go, why did I ever plead guilty? I was the one who just thought, I'll do the right thing, put my hand up here, and everyone apart from he and Ed Kerner have got off. But anyway.
Taking it to the High Court.
He had an absolute shocker there. So the Dusty Martin Carlton. And what about the Gold Coast Suns?
I mean, they really should have won that game, shouldn't they? You lead by 5 goals at 3-quarter time, and St Kilda came storming home. It was a great finish from Jade Gresham, and they had a lot of clearances. They had a lot of inside 50s in the last quarter. Good for Alan Richardson. He's done it tough when you think about St Kilda last year, had a really promising season. A lot of fans thought they may be ready to jump inside the top eight. They've won just 2 games this season. So it's been hard work, combination of confidence and players being out of form. The Gold Coast Suns, unfortunately. They find ways to lose, don't they, at times?
They really do. Well, an entirety of 2 points in the last 4 last quarters is disgraceful.
I felt really bad for those players at the end of that game. It was a tale of 2 lots of players who both desperately didn't want to lose, right? But the Gold Coast couldn't give anything. To not be able to score at all in the last 4 fourth quarters was terrible.
It wasn't dissimilar to the Socceroos. Every minute in that last quarter for Gold Coast fans, they have too many fans, felt like it was taking 5 minutes to take place as the Saints charged forward. So,
and the Saints did what they hadn't done all year, which was play with like even an inch of grit.
Yep.
They buckled in and they all played for one another. And Jade Gresham, you know, goal of the year should include context.
Contextual goal of the year.
Yeah. I wish you did that retrospectively of all the past few years.
We can get you to voice over it, Danny, and have a nicely build up with some music behind it.
This is a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Jade Gresham for me.
Ben Dixon would have appreciated it if it was a set shot.
Yeah.
But then it was on the run.
But it wasn't.
No good for Dicko, I'm afraid. Mad Matt Clinch, thank you for bringing something sensible to this.
Port Adelaide, Melbourne. So can't wait to see Port Adelaide at home. Melbourne now inside the top 4. The Demons obviously having failed that test against Collingwood on Queen's birthday. That's the best game of the weekend.
Can I just say something about Melbourne fans? Are they getting a bit ahead of themselves? Because I was just literally 10 minutes ago, I was on the phone to a Melbourne fan who said, I can't wait to play Port this week. I mean, we never win in Adelaide, but we'll beat them this week. We're up and about. And I went,
But you've got to have something, don't you? When you get embarrassed on the actual big stage that you're meant to perform on, you've got to have something.
My two brothers are Melbourne supporters. There's something psychologically when you've been disappointed so many times that you just can't completely convince yourself. You have to put in that little disclaimer. We should win, but we often lose that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's the two sorts of footy fans. You get the ones who are like, oh, yeah, we got this. We're going to smash them. We're going to smash them. Or the ones, people like yourself, Tess.
Doomsdays.
Yeah, who, like, you know, Richmond are playing Brisbane at the MCG. It's like, oh, I just feel they might fire up against us.
Brisbane are plucky. They've come from behind. It's one we're meant to win, so we'll definitely won't win it. I'm one of them.
But Melbourne does seem to have both the extreme versions of that.
I think it does, yeah.
I think it comes from, I'm going to be classist here, a lot of their fans are very old money, and they're just used to things going their way, and they're just amazed that they can't pay their butler for them to win.
All right.
It's very annoying.
On that note, Clinchy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Keep up the brilliant work.
I'll work on my calls.
Calling those games, but just a little bit more on the goals. A little bit more on the goals.
Feedback taken.
Can we put, can I put it out to our listeners? If you find even better football commentary, be it Aussie rules or soccer, like the soccer goals, especially from other countries, if you can find some better stuff, please send it to us on socials, because I would like to challenge Mad Matt to emulate some great Brazilian or
I'm up
or whatever.
For it. I'll have a go.
Great. Yes.
We'll get together a top 10 list. So the ABC Grandstand Twitter is where we'd love you
ABC
to send it.
Grandstand.
Right there. Thank you very much. Thank you, Clinchy. As we keep working through, all right, let's go to the Socceroos now.
Yeah.
We've mentioned soccer.
We got gypped.
Now we're talking.
We got gypped by the video review. God, I hate video review. I hate it in the AFL. I hated it in the A-League final, and I hate it at the World Cup.
Yep.
Yeah, it's we lost that match 2-1.
Yeah.
It was an absolute shame. And I wrote in the Herald Sun that this was soccer's chance. Now, I'm calling it soccer. I know it's also called football. It's just in the context of this conversation, it is easier for me to differentiate it and call it soccer. Okay? Stop tweeting me.
Yes.
This was soccer's chance to win over neutral footy fans, because average Australian footy fan... loves sport. We'll love all of them, but we'll often criticise soccer for, the diving, the corruption, and these are all valid arguments. However, I love round ball so much, and this is a chance. 8 o'clock, Saturday night, World Cup against the big dogs.
Perfect.
Yep.
The only other game is Hawthorn Adelaide. This was...
We're all in.
This is it. And then for us to... Like, if we got slammed and France had played amazing, I think the Australian sports fan would have gone, wow, technically, what a great game. France are really good. Good on Australia for even making it. The fact that we played pretty well, we played very defensive, which I know a lot of neutral fans don't like, but then to lose by 2 technicalities. Like, the first one, the umpire said, he got the ball play on, that's not a free kick, and then he gets called to the side. Australia was the first country to have VAR in round ball, and of course we're the ones to suffer. It's like we are being punished for dragging that game into the late 20th century. And if you look at the France celebrating their first goal, they all have this group hug. It looks more like they're trying to hide themselves from embarrassment rather than celebrate. It was a bit embarrassing. But then the handball was there.
That
was bizarre.
It was bizarre, and he was pretending it wasn't there. Because, that's a new rule. It's only been around since the 1860s.
You need the VAR.
He looked like Bruce Dool flying over the pack with that. The fist was so obvious.
And then Mille Jedinak was just slammed it in.
Mille, what a star. His face would rile you up to do anything. I need him in my life when I've got a little... I'm feeling a bit lax about something, can't really be bothered. Just him yelling at you would be like, oh, okay, I'm in.
And he's just fired Aston Villa up back to the Premier League for the first time in years. So he is a great leader. And Tony Abbott did ring to congrats Mike.
Great memories.
So who are the positives for the Socceroos?
Oh, yes, I have notes here, so I just went on my pen.
Hey, we're playing Peru and Denmark, so I reckon we'll finish this 2 wins, 1 loss.
Wow.
Yep.
You reckon?
Yes. That's fun.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah, there we go.
We well exceeded expectations, and that is a massive positive. The whole world was like, oh, hang on, you're not going to get completely bullied. I mean, it's hard to know whether France saw that coming. I think France maybe got taken a little bit by surprise that there was a challenge, and then at the end they kind of settled a little bit and won, so that's good for them. But I feel like that's a positive.
They
assumed, take by surprise.
They assumed they'd beat us 5-0, and we said, nah, you're not getting that.
Yeah.
And then we took it to them, and then, you know, technicalities. The positives are, yeah, we played really well, but we still lost, so Peru and Denmark will probably also underestimate us. That is a positive.
Okay, yes, that's good. True. And Bert, Aussie Bert, backed us in at the end and had a go about that goal. And I thought that was good. He coached well. He backed us in at the end. It felt like he was actually our coach.
He's a good bloke. I love that he's brought in he's paying for his assistant coaches out of his own pocket. He says it'll take too long to explain my tactics to Australians. So just bring these Dutchies in. Come on, boys. All right. Okay. Score the goals.
It's truly.
All right. There's three more. Let's take one each. Right. First up, the Wallabies beaten by Ireland on the weekend. What are the positives?
We beat them the week before.
Oh, we beat them the week before, and we're playing them one more time. Okay, good. The Australian cricket team lost to England. What are the positives?
Didn't cheat.
Didn't cheat.
There we go. That's good.
Phil Mickelson cheated. What are the positives?
I now know who Phil Mickelson is.
Okay, there we go.
Stays relevant.
Fantastic. Now, Tess, let's talk a bit about Richmond.
There's not enough of that on this show.
No, let's do it. So it was a great game. It was a game I was quite nervous for, so we always have lost to Geelong.
Here we go. Doomsday, Tess.
There we go. Hey, 16 in a row at the MCG.
Yeah, can I just remind you that I was there the last time we lost at the MCG, and it was completely humiliating.
Was that the Swans?
Actually a year ago to the Swans. That was the Buddy Rant staging thing. So that happened that day.
So here we are
1 year later, still having the same conversation. Everybody back off.
So you're saying that Rant's diving is the reason you keep winning?
It's an anniversary dive. To celebrate.
It's an anniversary.
To remind everybody of that dark day that we last lost to the Swans. And it was during a string of close losses where we were Old Richmond, where we would play really well for three quarters and then do a Gold Coast Suns and fall away at the end.
It was fun.
It was very disappointing.
It was proper comedy.
And since then, it's all been up. It's been great.
The record at the MCG is 17 in a row.
Which is amazing considering it's Geelong's home ground.
And we won away. We won away from home.
You won away.
So just everybody with your criticisms that we can't win away, rewatch yesterday.
What a joke.
Replays on.
So outrageous.
The difference is Dan Rioli. That's the big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Him back in the side, it's all the little things that you don't see him doing. It's the taps and the energy and the scruffiness. He's the leader of the mosquito.
It's a disgrace. Pack. It's an absolute disgrace that certain clubs get Riolis and others don't. We need a Rioli equalization program brought in. The REP, Gillon McLachlan, I'm looking at you. I think the Bulldogs deserve a priority Rioli.
Yep. Also, just wanted to shout out to the Geelong defensive tactics because they were highly amusing. So for the third quarter, they had like five men on the mark and they're all doing an amazing dance and they started giggling with one another. I thought that's quite nice. They're having a fun time.
Right.
Wasn't so fun later when we actually started coming good, but that was highly entertaining.
I like seeing five or six on the mark.
It was really fun. Yeah. I liked it. Also, lots of long jumpers on Geelong. So shout out, proper retro round. There were three. There was Brandon Parfitt, Menegola and Tui. Tom Stewart, the scruffy defender, great pack mark, great defender's mark yesterday. Wore long sleeves but then changed. So he was my favourite, and then low down. So
Carlton had a lot of long sleeves, and Port Adelaide. So shout out to those clubs.
All right, good work. Bring back the long sleeve. I saw Michael Tuck on Saturday night. So speaking of long sleeves,
what was he like?
What was he wearing?
Long sleeves.
Yes, he's still good. He's still good.
So hey, and Alex Rance. I just want to mention his kids' book. Raw. Great kids.
Tigers Raw.
About a tiger.
It was beautiful. It's the story of our premiership. If you didn't work it out.
Is there a metaphor in there, is it?
There's a metaphor.
Oh, yeah, there's a metaphor. Dusty Martin's also written a couple of books. Kids' books.
Did you
know about that?
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, what are they?
Well, there's The Cat and the Tap and Green Tats and Ham. So look out for those.
I was actually cross with Dusty for three quarters yesterday because I didn't think that he was like, his heart was really in it. And then like every fair weather doomsday fan, he kicked a goal. I think it was like 7 minutes into the last quarter or something. And I was like, I love you. I'm so back in. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I doubted you. You're actually amazing.
Dusty.
I love you all. Anyway, sorry, Dusty.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
I'm sure he's fine.
Hey, now, the Hawks had a good win on Saturday night, and Kel was there at the game.
Your beloved wife.
My beloved wife. She said, the MCG is very cold. I said, I know it is. Felt like 4 degrees, apparently, according to my Bureau of Meteorology app.
Four degrees.
She said to me, this was her observation, she said, the Hawks are good when it's scrappy. She said, and she wasn't meaning to rhyme, but she said they're a little bit like a staffy. Like a staffy dog.
Has she written a kid's book?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would
definitely work.
The scrappies.
So she goes, Hawthorn are a staffy. That's your dog.
Oh, okay.
So have you got a dog Danny, have you got a dog for the Bulldogs? What sort of dog is your club?
Is this a trick question? We are a Bulldog. Next question. No. Do you know what we are? We are like one of those purebred show dogs that is bred to win the, is it the Chelsea Dog Show? Is that the big one? Or the one
Crafts,
in New York?
Crafts Dog Show, or whatever it is.
Yeah, bred to win that when they're like two or three, and then because it's purebred, it's quite inbred, and it begins to fall apart in later years. That's us at the moment.
Okay. Very good. Tess, what sort of dog is Richmond?
So you gave me a task and I got really stressed out about it because I'm a studier in my spare time and so I like to do things properly. So I did a BuzzFeed quiz and answered every question. Which dog are you? And tried to answer every question as if I was Richmond. So it was like, what do you like to do on a Friday night? And I was like, hang out with my friends because they all like each other a lot. They're friends. But that gave me a pit bull and I didn't like it. So I have gone and done some more research and we're a Lab Marina. So I think we're a mixed breed.
Not a Weimaraner.
No, we're a lab marina. We're a mixed breed because we're sociable, we're happy, we like to be kept active, and if we're not active, then we fall to pieces and we're naughty, which is what happened last year. Temperament problems early on, but with good training from Dimmer, we came good, like all mixed breeds. Wow. You're never sure what you're going to get, and then with good training, we came good. We're a Lab Marina.
That's
also really cute. Look them up.
The Lab Marina. I've never heard of a Lab Marina, but now I want to see one.
They're cute.
Hey, guys, before we go... today. I don't know if you've got anything else you want to add.
I've got some feedback from the good listeners of They Came to Play. They Came to Play Army. We were talking about Retro Round, how we want to bring it back.
Yes. We do.
And we put it on, we asked for their feedback on social media. What would you bring back for proper Retro Round? Hashtag proper Retro Round. This will be an ongoing thing. If you ever have an idea about it, tweet it to us at the Grandstand or at our personal Twitters. We like to get involved. All right. These were the suggestions we had for if we were going to do Retro Round properly. We want suburban grounds, all the games starting at 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, beers costing 9p. So Ben Summerton said Port Adelaide to play at Alberton.
Mm-hmm. Now, right.
I don't even know what that looks like, but I want to go.
Love it.
Wearing the Prison Bars Guernsey, which I love. And he wants them to be flogging Adelaide, and Adelaide have to be wearing a Norwood/Sturt crossover Guernsey. Now that's the Red Legs and the Two Blues, is that right?
Correct, yes.
So we can make that work. Hey, Matty H, you'll love this, Tess. Lace-up jerseys.
And
he included a photo of KB, I think it's the 19, grand final in the 70s, wearing the lace-up Guernsey.
Lace-up Guernseys would be great.
But isn't there a risk of breaking the fingers when you go to the tackle?
You know, that'd be good.
It's worth the risk.
It's worth the risk. Also, it would be really good for staging because if you could be like, oh, we're in a tussle and oh, my shirt is now open, and it's like good evidence.
Yeah, that's true. Thoughts? And that, I'm sure you're very happy if Alex Rance ripped his shirt open in there. Chris, an Essendon fan, said, and he even tagged Essendon in this, red shorts.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Yeah, dogs used to wear red shorts as well. I'd be up for
John Worsfold wore them down the slide. When he dressed up as Neil Danaher, he had the red shorts on.
Yeah. A few people said collars, Roger Mellick collars. Chris Edwards said affordable prices. I like that.
Yeah.
And another guy, Tigernometry was his name, and he said leather footballs, Sandboys, Panthers, chocolate, Bears and Jets represented, and the refs in Tita. I think he thought this was a rugby league show.
All right.
Thanks, Tigernometry. Go Wests is all I can say there.
You can get on board.
Oh, man,
join
us.
We're a show for everyone. They'll have no idea what's going on, but we're a show for you too.
If you go for West Tigers, do you support Richmond or the Bulldogs? Or Collingwood?
West Adelaide in the SNFL.
Let's say that, the Bloods.
Yeah, the Bloods. Now, Danny, what's our question for this week?
Well, you find us some great commentary of goals. Any sport would be brilliant in there. We love celebrating over-the-top commentary so we can get Mad Matt to fire up. Also, I was at a four-year-old birthday on Saturday afternoon.
Gee, that's a long birthday party.
It is, yeah, 4 years.
Ooh, we four do
it.
Years.
Yeah, this is why we have the premiership hangover. We're still going. But I was talking to a lady, one of the other mums, and she sort of recognised me from footy. She goes, do footy stuff, you're Bulldogs. And she goes, is your kid Bulldogs? And I went, yeah, of course he is. And I said, who do you support? And she goes, St Kilda. And I said, does your son support St Kilda? She goes, nah, no way. And I went, oh, right, does he go for his dad's team? And she goes, nah, his dad goes for Essendon. No way he's going for either of those teams. Because St Kilda have had issues off the field, and so has Essendon.
Yes,
and have you ever heard of that before? Yes.
Who does the kid barrack for?
She says it's up to he'll get to choose. At the moment, he doesn't care. I think he goes for Thomas the Tank Engine.
Okay, well, my son is getting absolutely zero choice. He's been a member of Hawthorn for three years, and he's only two. So
I'm a completely convoluted result. My family are St Kilda, but my sister has two boys. The first one's coming along. Her partner is a Hawthorns fan.
Ooh.
She's St Kilda. They said, all right, we'll go to round whatever it was that year. Whoever wins gets the child. And Danny was like, this is unfair because it was during the victory years for Hawthorn. So obviously he's a Hawks fan. So then the second one is a Saint.
Oh.
Yeah, so he does. She gets the other one, and we're on board. Everyone's invested in him.
See, I've got a fear. Like, my boy is a Bulldogs fan, but he could change it in a minute. Kids can do that. Like, Dave Hughes, he's a passionate Carlton fan, but his boy goes for Adelaide.
Oh, what?
Because someone gave him a jumper.
No, he followed Eddie Betts. Carlton, loved Eddie Betts. Eddie Betts was your favourite player. Then Eddie Betts went to the Crows, so now he backs for the Crows.
Oh, I can back that in. I'm trying to get my niece as a Tiger. I'm doing everything
I
can.
What are you doing?
So I would get over little highlights on my phone, then I would be like, go Tigers for your auntie Tess. Right, I was really manipulative. Anyway, so now I've been told she does sing the Tiger song at home. And then I've also been told that whoever comes on the tally, she goes, oh, there's my team, and it's like the Giants.
Oh, okay.
So it's just anyone. Right, okay. So I've got a lot of work to do.
So the question we're asking is, how do you convince kids to follow either your team or whatever team you want them to barrack for?
How do you make sure your kids support your team, or how do you poach other people's kids?
Mm. Oh, yeah,
what tactics or horror stories can you share with us?
These are very good questions.
Very good questions. We need to know.
Emma Race, who does Grandstand with us on Sundays, has three daughters.
Of course, and her husband is a passionate Carlton fan, but Emma being a Hawthorn fan.
They were going to work alternatively with the kids.
All right.
Hawthorn, Carlton. They had three, so there should be two Hawks and one Carlton. What Emma did is the Carlton fan in the middle, she went and got Cyril Rioli to sign some gear and address it to the middle one specifically.
Oh.
So now there's three Hawthorn fans.
Oh, that's...
What could Carlton do? What could Carlton do in that instance?
Nothing.
Do you know what's worked for her? That Carlton have an AFLW team, so all the girls are AFLW Carlton fans.
So he gets them. Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Good for them.
For Richmond, it's pretty easy because Tigers are an animal that kids love.
Tigers are
easy. An apex predator.
Absolutely. Tigers love jungle stuff.
Yep.
The Tigers are the best in the jungle and in real life at the moment.
Yep.
So I suppose Tigers are in real life. Anyway, get it over the line.
Bulldogs can, say the family dog goes to the Bulldogs. I mean, Lima, you put up on Instagram your dog, Bunny in a Hawthorn outfit.
Correct,
and, mate, all dogs go for the Bulldogs. That has been proved. It was on Mythbusters. Dr. Carl confirmed it. So that's cruel. I'm going to report you to the RSPCA.
That's true. Give them that. They need it.
Well, my dog's favourite player used to play for Hawthorn.
Oh.
And now he's working at Carlton. John Barker.
Oh, okay.
That's so good.
Come on. All right, that's enough of that. I guess he probably, but his second favourite player is Ruffy.
Oh, no.
All right, that's enough. We're going to stop this.
There's a flower in this studio that just died.
Get in touch via the ABC Grandstand Twitter page or each of our individual Twitter pages. Danny.
At Danny McGinley.
At Tess Armstrong.
At Limo23 is mine. Thanks for listening. They came to play.